Our focus today is on what we do with the gifts that God gives us, the talents and abilities that we either naturally develop as we grow up, or which we work to acquire, or which perhaps come for some more unexpectedly as a special gift from God. And the basic lesson is, whatever gift we have, we need to make sure that we use it. In the parable of the talents, the man who's given 5 coins, 5 talents, and puts them all to good use, making 5 more, is praised. Well done, good and faithful servant. In the case of the man given 2 talents, who makes 2 more, well done, good and faithful servant, are again the praise he's given. But the man who buries his 1 and only talent, well, the master threw that Julian Potterton Brown character out. And the parable passage we're focusing on in Romans 12 has a similar message, to make sure we use the gifts that we're given. Encouraging us to see our contribution that we can make to God's church as being like the contribution each part of our body makes to the well-being of the whole. Verse 4 of Romans 12. For as in one body we have many members, and the members do not have all the same function, so we, though many, are one body in Christ. We know that our eyes and our ears and our mouth and our hands and our feet are each of value because they do different things for us. We benefit from what each one of them can offer the whole. And those who know about how our bodies work on the inside will know that's true of our internal body parts as well. And so it is in God's church. The Bible calls us the body of Christ, partly because our mission is to carry on Christ's work here on earth, partly because, like the parts of the human body, each church member has a different part to play. Verse 6, having gifts that differ according to the grace given to us, let us use them. Now, in everyday life, sometimes when we're given a gift, it's neither what we want or need. And actually, there are a whole load of deliberately useless gifts you can find online. From the proverbial chocolate teapot, guaranteed to make a complete mess the first time you use it, to this completely pointless attempt at a clock. Then again, some of the natural abilities that we have, or even spend many hours practicing, aren't, to be honest, very much use to anybody. Well, perhaps that one might come in handy as an occasional party trick. The gifts and abilities that God gives to each one of us, though, are vitally important. And they're given not just so that the individual who has them can benefit, but for the sake of others too, both in the church and in the world we live in. But for that benefit to be felt, we need to make sure that we use the gifts and abilities that we're given. The examples that the Apostle Paul specifically mentions might be of particular benefit to God's church begins, if prophesying, in proportion to our faith. Christians these days have different ideas as to exactly what prophecy might refer to. At its simplest, though, it's about someone communicating God's word to others, which doesn't just happen from here in the pulpit, but in everyday conversations as well. And the stronger the gift in that area, the more it needs to be used. If your gift is prophecy, make sure you use that gift. Next gift that's specifically mentioned, if service, in our serving. There are all sorts of ways people can serve in everyday life and in the church. Among the early Christians, the first people formally appointed deacons or servers were chosen for the task of making sure that in the church community the food was fairly shared out. I guess there'll be those who've agreed to do something similar, albeit on a smaller scale, at our hog roast in a little while. And there are hundreds of other areas of service in the life of the church that those who are suitably gifted and willing can help with, from cutting the grass to helping administer our finances. If your gift is serving, make sure you use that gift. Paul continues, the one who teaches in teaching. The picture suggests teaching of children or young people. And though that's important, in the Bible it's clear, we all need to be learning more about Jesus. Some people, for whatever reason, manage to make even very simple things seem complicated. But we give thanks to God for those who are able to do things the other way around and have a gift of explaining and teaching about the things of God, especially, so that as much as possible can be understood by others. And for each person who has that gift of teaching, in some measure, it needs to be used for the benefit of others. Paul then adds, the one who exhorts in his exhortation. Exhortation is partly about encouraging people, like Tigger's doing in the picture, but it's more than that. It's about encouraging and challenging others in their service of God. I thank the Lord for those who exhorted and encouraged and challenged me in my life as a Christian. And we need those who've got that gift to be unafraid to use it. We need people too who are able to give generously. Churches can't pay their bills on fresh air. Some can give more than others, of course, but all are called to genuine generosity. Paul then adds, the one who leads, lead with zeal. If your gift is leading, look for opportunities to use that list. And the list then concludes, the one who does acts of mercy with cheerfulness. The encouragement in each case being to identify what we're good at, what gifts God has given us, and then to use them. You may have heard the expression being like a square peg in a round hole. Someone serving in a role they're not very gifted at is no good for them or for others or for God's people. Much better if we're able to find the roles that best fit our gifts and serve the Lord wholeheartedly in those areas. Even then, though, won't always be easier. Paul had spoken earlier of the call of every Christian to be a living sacrifice. And that means each one of us needs to be wholeheartedly giving our all, using the particular gifts we've been given in the service of God and of his church and of the wider community as well. Amen.